Chris.
And I'm Jeremy.
Welcome to the Audio Buffet. So let's start off the show with our new segment, Beerducation.
Beerducation.
What beer do we have today?
Today we have a seasonal Star Hill brew from, they're from Charlottesville, Virginia.
Local beer.
Yay, local beer. This particular brew is called Snowblind.
And it's a Doppelbock lager.
Yes. Mm. It's very, very happy.
It's quite delicious. So, the first measurement.
Alcohol by volume.
ABVs on this one are 7.4%.
It is very good.
So this is, you know, one of those ones that you don't want to just throw one back and then another one back. You want to be responsible whenever you're drinking.
You really want to taste it.
Yeah, it's a very enjoyable experience.
International bitterness units.
What are the IBUs on this one, Jeremy?
13.
All right, so not very bitter at all.
Not very bitter. It has a great flavor, though.
It does. I like it a lot.
It almost has a kind of like a flowery taste.
Yeah.
A wintry flowery taste, okay. I would say.
All right, let's do the four steps that we learned about last time. Let's start by looking at this beer.
So what does it look like, Chris?
Well, it's definitely not as opaque as some of the other wheat beers that I've had.
Mm-hmm,
but I think that's probably because this is a Doppelbock lager instead of just a full-on unfiltered wheat beer.
Yeah, it's a little bit clearer than the last beer we had, which was the Evil Eight.
Yeah, and that one was great, but a completely different beast than this one.
Yes, it is.
What do you think about the color on this thing?
Standard reference method.
The color, it's almost like a burned caramel color, I guess.
Oh, how
like,
very descriptive.
Yeah.
Very
very astute.
You sound smart when you talk like that.
I'm talking about beer, man.
All right, it's beerducation.
But yeah, it's like a burned caramel color, or caramel, however you want to say that.
Caramel, caramel, same difference.
Yeah, so as you agitate it.
So swirl it around the glass.
What is
releasing
the,
gases and aromas.
And aromas, yep. And what does the head look like on it?
There's not much of a head on this one.
Okay. And now that we've agitated, you kind of quickly want to go into the smelling part, I guess. Now that you've agitated and the aromas are coming out.
It smells nice.
What nuances would you say are coming out of that?
It smells red.
It smells red, all right. Like a
that makes sense to me.
It smells like a wintry taste.
It does.
Or smell, sorry.
Yeah, it smells kind of like snow a little bit.
Well, it is called Snowblind.
Well, that's true. They probably did that on purpose. But you know that smell like right before it snows?
Oh, yeah.
It smells a little bit like that to me.
Okay. And now the last step, taste.
Maybe some floral.
L-A-S-T, last.
What?
Tastes great.
That's very descriptive. It tastes great.
It tastes delicious.
Behold, the power of beer.
Yep.
What does it taste like? I'm going to need to taste it again.
There's like a hint of pine.
Pine?
Like a piney taste.
How many pine trees do you lick?
It's a smell.
Okay.
It tastes like pine tree smell.
What is it, 90% or something of your taste experience is smell?
It's smell, yeah.
Okay, so I guess you don't have to go out and lick a pine tree to know roughly what it tastes like.
Yeah, so it smells like pine trees. So I think it tastes like pine trees. There's a little bit of a salt, I think.
It's pretty nice. It doesn't really have much of a lingering taste either.
No, it's as soon as it's there. Oh, look at that. Caramel aroma bellies.
Yeah, it kind of tastes a little bit like, I don't want to say burnt caramel, but, you know, the dark caramel.
Hmm.
The description they give it on Star Hill's website is it has a lightly toasted malt flavor. So it's probably that light toasty flavor that I'm picking up on that. So it's a really nice blend of, you know, the cold smells and everything like that, but the nice fresh, you're picking up pine.
Yeah, like a piney kind of smell.
But then a little bit of toastedness. So it may be a bonfire and a snowy glade, perhaps.
Yeah.
Let us guide you through a meditation through a snowy glade
with beer.
So on Star Hill's website, it doesn't have the SRM on it. So the last couple of beers that we've had to kind of guess. So going by the SRM scale, what would you guess that the SRM would be for this beer?
I would say this one is, it's a little bit lighter in color than the Evil Eight was last week.
But it's still a little bit dark.
Yeah, it's absolutely not, you know, Budweiser Pilsner, you know, almost yellow.
Right. If I had to say, it's kind of close to a Newcastle color.
Yeah, probably a little darker than Newcastle.
Yeah, a little bit darker.
A bit deeper than a red ale would be. I would probably say in the high 20s.
Okay. I can see that.
That's about as good as I can get. But again, don't take our word for that. Don't put any bets on it because we're not beer professionals. We're still getting beer educated ourselves.
Yes.
Thanks for joining us on this segment of Beer Education.
This has been Beer Education with Chris and Jeremy. Tune in next time for another riveting lesson. And now, on with the show.
So, Jeremy, we are at your house tonight.
That is correct.
Yep. And when I got here, you handed me a book that you were pretty excited about.
And it was Guardians of the Galaxy, the graphic novel.
Which is pretty cool. And I can understand you being excited about that. The artwork looks really cool.
Yes. And I haven't seen the movie. And I'm really excited to see the movie. But first, I wanted to read the novel first and see what was up with it. And then see what I could expect from the movie and say, hey, they didn't put that in the movie. Or, hey, they did a good job of doing that.
The book was so much better.
The book was so much better.
Yeah, I think you and I might be the last two human beings on the planet that haven't seen that movie.
Yeah, sadly.
One day.
It'll come.
Yeah, as soon as they throw it on Netflix and stuff.
Yeah, or the Redbox. It could be on Redbox. I don't know.
Yeah, probably is. Well, the reason that I brought that up isn't so much that it was Guardians of the Galaxy, as cool as that is and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
I bring it up because it was a library book.
Yep.
And, you know, that got me thinking, I haven't been to the library in a while.
And I hadn't been to the library in a very long time either. It's, as a matter of fact, it's been about 6 years because I had fees.
Running from the fees.
Yes, I ran from the fees, but I paid them back.
That's good.
I paid them.
That's good.
They paid them right on back. And now I can rent things. Yay.
Yay.
Well, not really rent, huh?
Yeah. No. Well, no, it's kind of more borrowing. You don't. There's no money involved as long as you bring it back on time.
In my case, there was money involved.
Do you know when the Guardians of the Galaxy graphic novel is due back?
I have no idea, and I should probably find that out so that I don't accrue any fees.
My guess is 21-day loan, but you should verify that.
I will. I'll look at the little receipt. I probably lost the receipt already.
It might say on the book itself, you know, how long the loan period is. Then you just count from today.
Okay.
Okay. Well, talking about libraries kind of got me thinking, I have a lot of memories in the library. And even though I haven't been in quite some time, and you obviously hadn't been in quite some time, the libraries were a pretty integral part of my upbringing.
It was for me, too. If I had to do a biography on a famous person, I went to the library.
Anybody.
I went to look it up and ask the librarian, hi, librarian, where do I find a book on so-and-so?
And you had to know the Dewey Decimal System.
Oh, gosh.
Do you still remember the Dewey
Decimal? Nope.
I don't either.
I remember there were numbers and a decimal in there.
Yeah. I would look it up and give a quick refresher course, but that would probably just bore everybody to tears. But, you know, that kind of gets me thinking, you know, is the Dewey Decimal whole, you know, school of study and...
Yeah, you actually have to go to college in order to become a librarian.
Yeah, which, I mean, yeah, that's great. I don't really know what is involved in studying library sciences.
Librariography.
Librography.
Librography.
There's probably a very appropriate word for this, and we're just being absolute jerks to all librarians out there. They are hardworking, highly intelligent individuals.
Yes, they are.
We're just a couple of schools.
Talking about librariography.
Librology.
Librology.
Just absolutely nothing to do with liberalism.
No.
Or LeBron James.
That either. Maybe it has a little bit to do with LeBron James. Oh, there is a guy named Dewey. Yeah. His name is Melville Dewey, the inventor of the Dewey Decimal Classification. The decimal classification introduced the concept of relative location and relative index, which allows new books to be added to the library in their appropriate location based on subject.
So there you go.
Yeah.
They don't have to rework the entire system if they get a new book.
There you go.
They can just kind of slap it in there.
And add it in.
Nice. So it's a very flexible system.
Which is good.
Now, how did you get that information?
I got it on Wikipedia. It may or may not be correct.
Hopefully someone that has studied library sciences was the one that edited that article.
Whoever studied librography, then you can let us know if that's right or not.
We have our educated librologist who's editing Wikipedia, ironically. And that's the thing. That's what I'm getting at here. You looked it up online. You probably Googled it, right?
Yeah, I sure did Google it.
You didn't go to a library. You didn't ask a librarian the Dewey Decimal System.
And you used to have to go to a... Well, for me, anyway,
yeah.
I had to go to a library in order to use the internet because I didn't have it at home for a really long time. It was still kind of a new and fresh thing. So if I wanted to look something up, I used the internet at the library or an encyclopedia.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you think about the mid to early 90s even, like, the internet was a pretty new thing if you had access to it at all.
And even then, I thought that when you went online, instead of searching something, I was like, I want to look up Martin Luther King, martinlutherking.com. And that's how I'd look it up, but that was not the right way to do it.
Yeah, search engines weren't, existent.
No, you had to know where you were going. Yeah.
So, back then, the library was the most efficient way to find information.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, unless you knew somebody who knew everything, in which case you were probably pretty well off, but I remember going to the library when I was a kid, and I would look for, books to entertain me, fiction stories and whatever, nonfiction if I had to do research for school or something. And the library that we went to actually had one of those, the microfiche computers.
What is that?
It had a microfilm, and then it also had microfiche. Now, microfilm looks like, it's like the old reel-to-reel tapes.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking
about? Yes, I
do. Yeah, okay. To where there's like this, cellophane looking tape stuff, and you feed it into a machine, and it basically projects that up onto the screen.
Oh, I know what you're talking about, and you kind of slide it across. Is that the little thing where or is that kind of like a film?
Well, with the one that you just kind of slid back and forth, that was the microfiche machine. And that was, just a plate or a slide or whatever. Mm-hmm. But with the microfilm, you actually cycled through. And the microfilm was really efficient for looking up old editions of a newspaper, for instance.
Oh, I gotcha. Yep. That makes sense.
And you can still do this. I actually did this a lot when I was in college. I went to Virginia Commonwealth University, for those of you who don't know. Go Rams.
VCU.
And I was a history major, so when I had to do a project that required me to do research that I really couldn't do online, because there is still information that's not online yet.
Well, that's a weird thing.
Right? I went to the Library of Virginia, like the state library, and they have a huge records and archives section. It's really quite beautiful.
I've always wanted to go to the library. It's huge.
It's great.
Is it like two stories?
Yeah.
It's nice. I want to go there.
They've got this great archive section. There are archivists in there. They're very helpful. You can request materials that they have downstairs in their private archive room.
Ooh.
And they bring it up to you, and you're wearing your white gloves. And
I was going to say, you have to wear, I just imagined, I don't know, what was that movie?
Can you imagine a room full of history nerds just squealing with glee?
With their white gloves on?
It's wonderful. It's wonderful. If there are any history lovers out there, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I also liked going to the Valentine Richmond History Center, which was really, really cool. They were very generous in letting me spend several hours just going through their records of, old photos and things like that. And none of this stuff is online. So the libraries aren't completely passe yet, but I kind of feel like there's this dark cloud hanging over them.
I feel the same way as well. Because it's somewhere that I don't go for really research anymore. I do it all of my research from home or from my phone or from my laptop or wherever there's a computer except for going to the library. I really go to the library for, I guess, entertainment more than anything.
Yeah.
DVDs and Which graphic is fine. Novels. Yeah.
I mean, that's fine.
That's what it's for.
It still serves a purpose. Mm-hmm. That's why they have those catalogs.
But with the invention of things like Netflix and things that you can have at home, it's kind of, it seems like it's making the library obsolete.
I think the last time I tried to do research at a library, I couldn't find the information that I was looking for. So I went onto one of their computers and I logged in and I Googled it.
And you found it.
And
that
I
way.
Found it right away. I was like, well, this is kind of frustrating, honestly, because I wanted the library experience and I just couldn't find what I was looking for.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully the library isn't going the way of the dodo.
I don't think it will, honestly, because even though there are things like the Internet Archive, mm-hmm. which is great, you can find that at archive.org, and that's a great resource and it's a really valuable thing to be able to have all of that information that they do have, but they still don't have everything. Again, back when I was in college and I was doing research for various projects, I had to look up old editions of the Richmond Planet, which is an old local newspaper that John Mitchell Jr. was involved in. Who's, if you're not familiar with John Mitchell Jr., considering it's February and this is Black History Month, you should learn about John Mitchell Jr. in Richmond. He was an outstanding figure, an absolute pillar of the Black community in Richmond in one of the hardest times in recent history. But I had to find the old issues of the Richmond Planet, and they actually have every issue of the Planet.
In the library?
No, online.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They've scanned every page, and you can treat their website exactly the same way that you would treat a microfiche.
Oh, and you kind of move it to the side?
You can zoom in, and you can move it from side to side. Oh, that's cool. You can read the whole paper, and it's an amazing resource. But even these old technologies, they're emulating, basically, on the internet.
Yeah. It is kind of sad, because also, like we were talking about earlier, the library was kind of a place that I would go to get away as well. It'd be a place that I would go to actually read something, because if I'm at home by myself, truly, I'm probably going to get really distracted and find something else to do. But
what? You're distractible?
Huh?
Shiny!
Very easily distracted. But the library is a great place to go to kind of get away, and I really like that. That's one thing, and I'm going to try to make myself go to the library more, just to go there.
Yeah. It's a nice, quiet place. It's mm-hmm. always very serene. I love libraries. Mm-hmm.
It was really weird because when I went to the library today, I think I actually got a text message from you, and I forgot to put my phone on silent, and it was the loudest thing in the library. But there was no talking at all, and there were tons of people in there, and it was so quiet.
You feel like you just screamed an obscenity in church.
Pretty much. Pretty much. I four-letter worded it in church.
Yikes.
While I was there, so.
Well, I'm happy to have provided that moment of awkwardness in your day.
Yeah. And my scrambling to find my phone. Yeah. It was interesting. You could tell that I don't step foot into a library very often.
Or silence your phone.
Or silence my phone.
I'm sure they're used to it these days.
Mm-hmm. Cell phones going off.
If you ever want to make a librarian's day, ask them for help.
Mm-hmm.
They will light up. And especially if it's a reference librarian. Holy cow. I mean, we kind of laughed about it a little bit, but really, studying library science is no joke. Like, they've got to know what they're doing.
They go to school for a very long time. You know, I actually looked it up, and I was trying to find out how to become a librarian, because I was thinking, like, it would be neat to work at a library.
Yeah.
You can't just apply. 8 years.
Yeah, dude.
8 years of schooling.
Dude, doctors go to school for 8 years.
Yeah. They probably accrue a bunch more debt. Maybe. I don't know.
Well, yeah, that's true. Student loans probably aren't comparable, you know, med school versus library science. Maybe. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I wonder how competitive the librarian field is.
I don't know, but right now there's just not a whole lot of funding for libraries. There are, you know, libraries closing all over the place. Somehow, we have a new one going up right around the corner from my house, actually.
I saw that.
So, I mean, that's pretty exciting. The reason that they can do that is they actually set that money aside back when they still had money before the economy really went ugly. Only now that the economy is starting to improve, they can actually build the library. So,
oh, nice.
That's the background there. So it's great that the Internet Archive exists. It's great that they're backing up the old issues of newspapers and magazines and all that jazz. So we have that. But, you know, our last episode was about the apocalypse. And what if we did get a solar flare that wiped out all electronics all over the world and the internet just kind of suddenly evaporated?
Well, first of all, I would cry.
Yeah.
A little bit, maybe a lot. All of the information that we've ever known about everything would kind of go away.
And librarians would rule the world. Because all of our information that we had would be only what's written down. Only the hard copies remain.
And they would know where to find it because they're the only ones that can use the Dewey Decimal System.
Seriously, man.
I don't know how to find anything in a library.
No. What is a card catalog? What the heck?
I don't know.
You know, thinking about these hard copies, there was a project that was started in San Francisco back in 2008. So it's been, 7 years ago now? And what the Rosetta Project aims to do is actually supplement the Internet Archive in a kind of hybrid sort of way. It's backing up the digital stuff with having hard copies, which I think you kind of have to do if you're trying to build contingency plans.
Mm-hmm. For those that want to know a little bit more about what the Rosetta Project is, the project catalogs the language of the world, both online and on laser-etched nickel discs that contain 13,000 pages in 1,500 languages, readable with a microscope.
Whoa.
The Rosetta disc is currently on board the Rosetta probe orbiting Comet 67P. I cannot pronounce that. It's on a comet.
What?
Yeah.
What the heck does that do with us?
I don't know. But the disc is currently on board the Rosetta probe orbiting Comet 67P. And I'm not going to pronounce that because I can't. And we'll just put it on the show notes.
That does us no good.
It doesn't, especially if there's a solar flare. Right. The thing is going to go flying. It's going to go flying into deep space.
We can't get it back. Oh, crap.
Well, that's kind of useless.
Some bad planning.
I hope they made a backup. I hope it's buried somewhere underground or something.
No.
Yeah. It's in space, sadly, but hey.
Maybe we will be too. That's what they're doing. They're sending the Rosetta disk ahead. That way, when we stick like a bunch of embryos on a spaceship,
they're just going to download it to their brains when they're fully grown.
Exactly. So, with all of the backups of the digital backups and the backing up of the backing up and sending it all into space so it can do us all kinds of good.
Which is none at all.
Well, not that one anyway. I think there are other facets to the Rosetta Project where they actually have underground vaults and stuff like that, to where, you know, they have very careful, you know, climate controls and stuff like that, to where they actually, we do have some stuff backed up. Hard copy on Earth. So we wouldn't be completely screwed if we lost the internet. We would all just be very sad.
Because I don't retain any information.
Yeah.
Well, it's like, what do you want to know a fact? Google it, and then it's there, and then it's done.
That's right. And our hundreds of listeners wouldn't be able to hear our dulcet tones every Wednesday. Sorry, guys. Better just keep your fingers crossed against any kind of solar flare activity.
Mm-hmm. So as we talk about a lot of the time is how can things be used in the future? And one of the neat things that I've seen is public libraries being used as a makerspace.
Okay, define makerspace. This is exciting, but I think we need to be clear with this. What is makerspace and why am I geeking out about it?
To better serve their communities, many libraries are now transforming into makerspaces. Shared workshops where people can learn how to use tools ranging from soldering irons to 3D printers.
Exactly. That's why I'm geeking out about this. Because there's actually a library. It's the local central library of this lovely county in which we live. that that has a makerspace. And I actually know some people that go there every Wednesday evening. So maybe we'll do a follow-up mini episode or something where we can go play with some stuff and you can hear the sounds of a real 3D printer.
Or maybe print something?
Well, yeah, definitely print something. Now, I think this is a great use for the space that these libraries have now. They have these extra rooms that maybe they were going to use for something, but because of the lack of funding, they maybe don't have stuff to fill them that they thought that they were going to have.
Mm-hmm.
By doing this, they retain a lot of their viability in the community. I've seen libraries that have become, you know, more meeting spaces mm-hmm. than anything. I mean, it's the fact that they have books is almost secondary sometimes.
Yeah.
There's the library closest to my house. I think that's where you went today, actually.
Mm-hmm.
They host seminars all the time. We went there and they had some people from the local gardening extension, whatever the heck it's called, giving, you know, this seminar on how to have a better home garden.
And that is very useful.
It's very cool. And this stuff is all completely free and it's, you know, anybody can go to the library and access this stuff.
Yeah, and it's free.
Completely free.
That is the one aspect of a library that I love about it, is that it's free. You can bring your family.
Mm-hmm.
They have family nights. They have things to do for the kids. They have kids section. They have DVDs. They have audiobooks. They have magazines. They have graphic novels. They have something for everyone there. And yeah. there's no reason why you can't just bring your family along and go to the library.
It's true. Do you know what I liked? I'm going to jump a little bit off the rails for just a second.
Go for it.
Blockbuster. Back when Blockbuster was still in business, I think they're all completely gone now. There might be a couple. Right. Rest in peace, Blockbuster. But Blockbusters, back when they were everywhere, they were like mushrooms. There was just Blockbusters all over the place. It was like,
I used to work at one of those.
Did you really?
It was fun.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I liked about Blockbuster, though, was I liked to just go there and peruse the options.
The catalogs of movies.
There were so many movies. And a lot of them were just crap.
A lot of them were junk.
But there were some golden nuggets, you know, scattered throughout the store. And I liked to look for them. You know, if I saw something that looked interesting or had an interesting title or something, and I would pick it up and I would read the back of the VHS box. Because back then it was old school.
Hey, they eventually went to DVD and Blu-ray.
Well, eventually, yeah. But they also had HD DVD, which didn't last very long.
No, that was gone. But, and I totally agree with you on just perusing and looking at the back. My thing was looking at the cover. Like, what does the cover of the movie look like? Ooh, right. That's nice. I'm going to grab that one.
Yeah, well, it had to be eye-catching. And they say, you know, don't judge a book by its cover, but, you know, movies might be a little bit different. But that's one of the things that I like about libraries, too. And this is where I jump back onto the rails. You know, you can go to the library, and like you're saying, you can bring the whole family there, and you can just kind of not really turn your kids loose in the children's section. You still want to keep a close eye on your children. And please keep a close eye on your children. And you can kind of just look around and see what's there.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that because you never know what golden nugget is going to be scattered among the other stuff that might not catch your interest. Doesn't mean it's crap,
mm-hmm.
but it might not catch your interest. But there's good stuff there.
Like Guardians of the Galaxy.
Like Guardians of the Galaxy, the graphic novel.
Who knew that I would find that there?
The librarian knew.
She sure did. She probably didn't. I don't know. Yeah,
oh, no,
she probably
they did. Know everything, man.
Yes, they do.
Librarians know everything.
Go and visit your local librologist today.
Have you hugged your librarian today? Don't go up and hug some random librarian.
Don't do that. They'll probably freak her out.
But thank them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you can ask the librarian too. Like, hey, what events are coming up? Like, are there any seminars or something? You know, because they probably have flyers, and if they don't have flyers, they can at least tell you what's coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's so much stuff there, there's just free information for anybody who wants to just say, hey, I'd like some free information.
Yep, that and free seminars on all kinds of things.
Experts in. Experts, people. These are the ones that write the Wikipedia pages that you swear by.
And also, they bring people in that play instruments and play music for your kids.
Yeah. And that actually know how to use the freaking 3D printers.
Mm-hmm.
They can teach you how.
Oh. We're going.
Absolutely, we're going. It. So I don't think the library is dying.
No, I don't think it is either.
I think it's evolving.
That's it has to evolve. It has to change with times.
Yeah.
And especially with, let's say, you know, people like to read physical books. Some people like the smell of paper or whatever. For those people that don't really care about that and like their electronics, they even do ebooks.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, you know, that's true. I actually do use the library a lot. Now that I think about it, there is an app that I have on my iPhone. It's called Overdrive. And what Overdrive is you go in and you type in your library card number and your PIN and all that stuff. And you can actually browse their online database of ebooks and audiobooks. And you can download audiobooks directly through this app from your local library's website.
I didn't know that you could download the audiobooks.
Dude, it's awesome.
That just changed my whole world.
I've listened to so many free audiobooks.
That has changed my world
completely
just now.
Completely free. And you don't even have to worry about late fees with that, because since it's a downloaded digital file, it'll just expire.
It's DRM.
Yeah. It'll just expire.
Sweet. So you don't have to worry about late fees.
You don't have to worry about late fees. You can return it early if you want to, because they only have so many copies that they have licenses for, which is how they can do it legally and stuff like that. But it's outstanding. They have a huge, huge database.
Going to plug up my e-reader right now and getting ready to put me some books on my e-reader.
Well, before you dash off and plug in your e-reader and download all kinds of e-books that are going to enrich your life in countless ways, we need to thank our audience.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all so very, very much for listening. We really appreciate it. It's been overwhelming support. We also have a new way if you want to support us.
Uh-huh.
It actually costs a fair amount of money to make sure this podcast is doing what it should be doing and not sounding like Dookie.
Or, yeah, we want to make sure it doesn't sound like Dookie.
No, we want to make sure it doesn't sound like we're recording in a closet or a bathroom or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot that goes into that, a lot of time and a lot of money, and we kind of need your help there, because neither of us is really what you would call wealthy.
Mm-mm.
On our website,
www.theaudiobuffet.com,
you can find a donate button.
Woohoo! Little yellow button.
We would greatly appreciate you clicking that and clicking a couple other things and typing in some numbers and stuff like that, and just donating whatever you think this is worth.
Yeah.
I mean, just toss us whatever, really.
And if you are like us and you're not wealthy people, how you can help us out is absolutely free. Go on to iTunes and give us a rating. 5 stars and give us a review.
That'd be fantastic. And if you're asking, well, what's in it for me? We actually have something that's in it for you.
We have products.
Yes. Yes, we do.
Or product.
Yep. You can go to our website again.
www.theaudiobuffet.com.
Click the Support Us tab at the top of the page. And there you will find lovely latex-free wristbands
that say
www.theaudiobuffet.com.
They're really quite fashionable. I'm wearing 4 of them right now.
I have on 2.
They're pretty great. We've actually sold some number of these already.
Yeah.
They're going a lot faster than I thought they would.
It
honestly
is exciting, and they're only $1.
Yes, we're selling them for $1, and that includes the shipping that it costs to get them to you.
Yeah.
We're also on Facebook. You can find us, The Audio Buffet.
And you can find us on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Just search The Audio Buffet.
Thank you again. We enjoy doing this. We love the feedback that we've been getting. Send in your comments through the website. It's great. And we'll just keep this party rolling.
For sure.
Anyway, we're done for now.
Bye-bye.
See ya.